What if 99% were good enough? Some thoughts about that. And the first one is that there'd be no phone service for 15 minutes a day. Oh, do I have that up there? There we go. 1.7 million pieces of first-class mail would be lost each day. 35,000 newborn babies would be dropped by doctors and nurses each year. 200,000 people would be getting the wrong drug prescriptions each year. You would have unsafe drinking water for 3 days out of the year. Each year, 2 million people would die from food poisoning. From that perspective, 99% doesn't sound so good. And yet sometimes our walk with God, 99%, we settle for that. I believe in Romans chapter 15, verse 14, Paul sets the bar for the Christian standard. In Romans 15, 14, he said, "And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another." I think this passage of Scripture shows us where the bar is. And it reveals to us some things that we need to consider this morning. And we're going to look at this goodness, knowledge, and admonishing one another. This is setting the bar. So let's dig in. Your bulletins, we have blanks to fill out. Number one is full of goodness. I believe that bar is removing blemishes. Blemishes are the things that make us unattractive. The things that, well, we really don't want people to see. We really don't want people to think less of us. And the number one blemish that we can see from God's word is sin. Jesus died on the cross to remove that sin from us. However, we still have blemishes. You see, when we repent, it's not a one-time thing. It is a continuing process. We are constantly repenting because we are constantly being bombarded with the temptation to sin. And it's important for us to know that when we're talking about being full of goodness, it's not an automatic thing. It doesn't just happen to you're a good person. Goodness is something that we work on. We repent from every sin. We strive to do what God's will tells us to do. Getting rid of the blemishes is not easy. It requires trusting in Jesus. It requires repenting from every sin. It requires us to look at ourselves the way that God looks at us. George Orwell, "On the whole, human beings want to be good, but not too good and not quite all the time." Does that reflect your faith? Do you have the kind of faith that's 99%? A lot of people would rather live with the problem than practice discipline to get rid of it. And repentance does require discipline, but it is good. It requires giving up the things that we like. It requires us to risk unhappiness for ourselves to do what is right. Relying on what we know to be true rather than what we feel like doing. Goodness is always a godly characteristic. In Romans chapter 9, verse 12, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Do you hate what is evil? Are you clinging to what is good? We cannot be full of goodness until we deal with the badness. We'll get back to that. Number two, when it comes to all knowledge, the bar is set. We need to be responsible. In our world today, we do not have a knowledge problem. We have more knowledge. If you've got a smartphone with you, you have got more knowledge in the palm of your hand than an entire school would have 30 years ago. You have the World Encyclopedia in your... I mean, when I was a kid, that was unheard of. We were just talking... Okay, I think Fred and I were talking before church today. I remember my dad in 1973 bought a calculator. All it did was add, subtract, multiply, and divide. And the screen was those little red light beams. $104 it cost him back in 19. And he did that, he's an insurance salesman and he had to figure out numbers quickly. And that was the coolest thing. Today, wow. We laugh at that. Says, boy, you wasted your money. But we have knowledge available at our fingertips. The problem is not that we don't have the knowledge. The problem is that we don't have the responsibility. A lot of people try to avoid the responsibility of that knowledge. You see, if knowledge were it, you know, there's a reason why God changed our lifespan from 900 or so years to 100 or so. It wasn't an information thing. It was a responsibility thing. Information should change us, but many times it doesn't. The last people in the world who should have built a golden calf were the ones that were led through the Red Sea. The ones who every single day there is a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Those are the last people in the world that should have ever built a golden calf. But they're the ones that did it. The last people in the world who should have lied about the resurrection of Jesus, who saw him alive from the grave, were those guards. But they lied. The disciples stole him. They knew better. You know, that is so true if we look in our world around us. Responsibility problem. The world wants to take responsibility away from our culture. It's not anybody's fault anymore. It's not my fault. That seems to be the mantra of just about everybody that gets it. It's not my fault. I murdered those 16 people, but it's not my fault. It's not my fault. I hear that over and over and over again. It's this syndrome. It's that syndrome. You know what? I find it interesting that you know, you watch TV and news, and I don't see it a lot. Maybe some of you guys do in the courtroom, where there is a agreement where innocent by reason of insanity. Why isn't it guilty by reason of insanity? Why does it have to be innocent? And if you're not responsible for your actions, should you be free to wander among society? Hurt anybody, anywhere, anytime? Just a thought. No matter how hard we try, The truth is, we will never escape the responsibility that we have. Each of us is responsible. That's the idea that Paul gave us in 2 Corinthians. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things that he has done while in the body, whether good or bad. You know, this is not written to the unbeliever. This was written to the believers. This is not something that we're saying, well, I'm a believer, I don't have anything to worry about here. I believe that every single person, believer or non-believer, is going to stand before God's throne and give an account of himself to God. The believer has an advocate that Jesus, when it comes to the penalty phase, that Jesus said, I paid the penalty. But before that time, I think we're going to be accountable for our actions. Need to be responsible. We must be responsible for the knowledge that we've been given. I like what Matthew 11:29 says. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. We like the gentle and humble in heart, and we like the rest. But sometimes we forget to look at the learn from me. We have a responsibility to learn from Jesus, to learn from God's word. And not knowing God's word is not an excuse. James said this, therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. It is not enough to be filled with knowledge. We must be responsible with that knowledge. Number three, able to admonish one another. I believe that this bar is helping others to succeed. Admonish means to warn. It means to inform gently. The scriptures clearly warns us about God's wrath. Clearly warns us about judgment day. We are responsible to share that warning with other people. We're not to sit back and just let people fall. We're not to keep it to ourselves. Our culture tends to be overprotective about the sensibilities of other people. If someone is in the middle of the road and a truck is coming, what are you going to do? Are you going to stand there and watch them get hit? Or are you going to give them a warning? You're going to stand out there with them, wave at the truck, grab the person, pull them off the road, do something to protect their life, do something so that tragedy doesn't happen. And if it's true with somebody standing on the road, isn't it also true with somebody's life is heading toward destruction? You know, the world says, hey, I don't want you to shove God down my throat. You believe what you want to believe, and everybody has a right. Everybody has a right to go to hell if they want to. Everybody has a right to ignore God if they want to. That's fine. But I tell you what, they're still going to get the warning. They're still going to know that there is a God in heaven who understands them, who loves them. They're still going to know that there's a God in heaven who is accountable, who is their creator. The world says, no, we need to be sensitive. You'll hurt their feelings. The hypocrisy of that. They'll accept just about everything but Christianity. If someone's headed for hell, can't we say something? If that's what we believe. You know, there's a thing in our society now that says if we say something contrary to what somebody else believes, they're offended. And if they're offended, it must be a wrong. So it's wrong to offend anybody. So it's wrong to take a stand. And there are believers that are feeling guilty if they say, I believe in Jesus. I believe that there's a heaven and hell. I believe that there are people that are going to hell. And there are people that are made to feel guilty that way. I tell you what. That's not us saying that. That's God saying that. We can never go wrong sharing God's plan. But to be made to feel guilty about it, that's a problem. God expects us to say something. In Matthew 25:45, then he will answer them saying, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. Inaction is a sin at times. When we choose to do nothing, when we choose to ignore the truth, when we let somebody walk through toward destruction, it is a sin. James 5:20 says, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him from death and cover a multitude of sins. If we are in the business of helping people succeed for God, I'll guarantee you this, we are going to be ridiculed. One of the things, you know, is take a stand. If you look at the blue shirts, take a stand. I will tell you this, that it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what stand you take. Anybody that ever takes a stand for anything is going to take arrows. There's always somebody that's going to criticize. There's somebody that's going to point a finger at you and say you're wrong. I guarantee you. If you took a stand and demanded that the sky is blue, there's somebody that's going to argue with you. And the question is, what are you going to do about it? Jesus came to earth and he took a stand. And they accused him of blasphemy. They accused him of gluttony. They accused him of all kinds of things. And all he did was speak the truth. Henry Kissinger. He wrote a book called The White House Years. And in this book, he tells a story about a Harvard professor. And this professor handed out an assignment one day, and it was a paper that he expected his students to write out and turn in. And so the students did their assignment, turned it in. And the very next day, one of the students saw on his paper, all that was on his paper, it said this, is this the best you can do? And the student took that paper and he read that, and no, it's not, you know, and so he rewrote the paper and he turned it into the professor. And the very next day he got that paper back and it said the same thing. Is this the best that you can do? And the guy's looking at his, well, no, that's not really the best. It happened 10 times. This guy was rewriting this paper and rewriting this paper until finally he turned it in and he got the paper back and it said, is this the best you can do? And the guy finally took his paper to the professor and says, yes, this is the best that I can do. And the professor's response was, great, now I'll read it. The bar has been set. We need to remove the blemishes and repent all the time. We need to be responsible and we need to help others. The real question is, are you doing your best? We're going to sing a hymn of decision, softly and tenderly. And I will say this, that yes, Jesus is calling us softly and tenderly, but he is calling us to do our best. Are you giving your best? Let's stand and let's sing.